Let's say amen, like we're glad to be in the house of God one more day. Amen. We do bless the Lord for his grace, goodness, and mercy. We thank God for this yet another opportunity that God has afforded each and every one of us to be in the land of the living. We thank God for the breath that he has placed in our bodies. And the Bible declares, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. And we've come to lift him up on high. We thank God for your great pastor, Dr. T.J. Rogers, a great friend, a great brother, beloved, one who is a high-level leader. In New Bethlehem, God has blessed you with one of the finest. Thank God for his lovely and beautiful family, First Lady, and their family. I'm blessed as well to have with me my lovely and beautiful wife, Sister Felisa Swift Washington. I'm going to ask her to stand. I've got my four children with me as well. And all of them look like little stair steps. Got my baby girl, Kylan, and then Case and Camden, and Christian, who's sitting here in the front. We thank God for this, another opportunity to come and share God's goodness to the people of God. We're privileged and honored to share with you New Bethlehem on this your 121st church anniversary. And I know my wife's father, my father-in-law, will be coming at 10:30. And I thank God that Dr. Rogers, your pastor, is such a gracious pastor that he asked me to come before my father-in-law. Amen. He's a good brother. But we thank God for this yet another opportunity. My father grew up here in Bessemer, Reverend Caleb Washington, and we know many of you all. Years of growing up, Sister Logan and Sister Evans, many of y'all state workers, the buoys, and just men. I'm not going to call, can't call any other names. We'll be here too long, but we just thank God for your presence. And I live in McCalla, past in Birmingham. And so every Sunday I drive by on 5920 going north and pass by New Bethlehem. And I look over and I see a cloud of smoke over New Bethlehem. Amen. The glory of the Lord. Rest over New Bethlehem. And I was wondering what's going on, and now that I'm in here this morning, I know that praises are going up to God. And I know I got the right crowd. This is the 8 a.m. crowd. So you get up to be the church at 8 a.m. you come to have church. Well, thank God, one of our members, I see Sister Tamala Briggins, and many of you know the Sharp family here in Bessemer. Thank you for your presence here today. If there may be others out as well from Mount Hebron. Let's get in the Word of God. Dr. Rogers told me, he said, Doc, you're going to get up at 9:45, and he said, this is what time we wrap up, and I love the efficiency, and so I'm going to be obedient to that in Acts chapter number 20. In Acts 20, beginning with verse 7. Hear the word of God. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man, Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. They rejoiced. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. I want to talk about the significance of the sanctuary. The importance of church.
Amen. Amen.
And I think it's so very important that we know the importance of church in this age.
Yes, sir.
That we live in.
Yes.
Hebrews 10 and 25 lets us know that we ought not forsake the assembling.
Yes.
Of ourselves together.
Amen.
Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus declares that upon this rock I will build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church. What is the church?
Yes.
The church is the place where we grow and develop as the children of God.
That's right.
The church. What is the church?
Yes.
The church is the incubator of Christian service.
Yes.
The church. What is the church?
Yes.
The church is the storehouse of God's word.
That's yes. Right.
The church.
Church.
What is the church?
Yes.
The church is our spiritual hope.
Yes.
And our physical health.
Yes.
The church. What is the church? The church is that elevator that has lifted us from disgrace.
Yes.
To God's amazing
Amen.
Grace.
Yes.
Talking about the church. If I could remix a song, it was at the church.
Yes.
That I first saw the light.
Yes.
And the burdens of my heart rolled away.
Yes.
It was there by faith.
Yes.
That I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day.
Yes.
We ought to thank God for the church.
Yes. Yes.
And it's important for us to show up in the church so that we can grow and develop as the children of God.
That's right.
Here in Acts chapter 20, Paul is on another missionary journey.
Mm.
Paul goes through Macedonia, through Asia, and through Greece.
Yes.
While on his way to Macedonia, when he gets to Macedonia, he stops in a place called Troas, here in verse number 7. And as he moves in Troas, Paul meets with the church.
Yes.
He meets with the church in the third level of a building. And as he meets with the church, it's there and in this pericope that we can determine and discover.
Yes, sir.
The importance of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
The church, the Greek word ekklesia.
Yeah.
Which has with it a dual meaning. It on the front side, it means the called out.
Yeah.
On the back side, it means the called together.
Yes.
God has never called us out to operate independently of Him.
Amen.
And each other.
Amen.
God has called us out from the world to be called together as His body.
Yes.
And the Bible says, the text lets us know, and they came together.
Yes.
They came, which first indicates that the church met with regularity and consistency.
Yes.
And if there's one thing that God wants from his people, is consistency.
That's right.
If we want the favor of God, the favor of God is garnered by consistent faithfulness.
Yeah.
Not only did they meet with consistency, the Bible says they came together.
Yeah.
It was not only consistency in the church, there was unity in the church.
That's right.
And if there's one thing that pleases the heart of God, is when he can look down and see his children working together.
That's right.
Yeah. God doesn't want one group over here doing one thing and another group over there doing another thing. God is not pleased with church renegades.
That's right.
God wants all of us to operate in unity, under one head, under one vision. God operates. And when God sees the church operating in unity, what he sees is the church living up to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. When Jesus prayed, "I pray that they will be one as you and I are one." And when the world sees that they are one as you and I are one, then the world will believe that the Father has sent the Son.
Amen.
They gathered together consistency, unity.
Yeah.
And they gathered together breaking bread.
Yeah.
That's breaking bread. I know it's church anniversary, but it's not talking about fried chicken.
That's right.
Corn and green beans and cornbread and Kool-Aid. But when it says they gathered together breaking bread, what that means is that they gathered together doing communion.
That's right.
Remembering what that is remembering Jesus. When we internalize the bread, the bread is broken and we internalize it, we are reminded of the suffering of Jesus Christ. When we internalize the wine, we are reminded of the blood that Jesus shed. My brothers and sisters, I was just rejoicing as I sat back getting ready to come up and address this beautiful congregation at the songs that were sung here. Because the songs that were sung here were magnifying Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's sad to say that in many of our 21st century churches, that there are churches that have the name on the outside.
That's right.
But it seemed like Jesus been left on the outside.
That's right.
Yeah, I can hear Jesus say in John in Revelation chapter number 3 when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock."
Yeah.
And I just believe that if it's a Christian church, that Jesus ought not be on the outside of the church.
That's right.
That he ought to be in his church.
That's right.
There's so many churches, they got Oprah welcome in the church. Dr. Phil sitting on the pew. Kanye, Yeezy. Jay-Z in the church. But Jesus is saying, "Where am I?"
That's right.
If it's Jesus, it's church. Jesus ought to be present in everything in the church.
That's right.
So this church gathered together, breaking bread, remembering Jesus. And so many churches, songs that are sung, and I don't know how a song can be sung in the church, a gospel song, and not mention Jesus.
Amen.
Everything about us.
Yes.
Messages are preached in some churches that don't even mention Jesus.
That's right.
Motivational talks.
Yeah.
And then it's the message of the church that drives the music of the church.
That's right.
The message ought to be about Jesus.
Yeah.
The music ought to be about Jesus.
Yeah.
The living ought to be about Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything we do in the church ought to be centered around Jesus.
Yeah.
That the church is gathered.
That's right.
That they gathered with consistency. They gathered in unity.
Yeah.
And they gathered remembering Jesus.
Yeah.
But then the Bible lets us know, the text lets us know, it takes a shift.
Yeah.
And lets us know that there's a young man by the name of Eutychus. And what we need to notice about Eutychus is, first of all, where he has positioned himself.
Yeah.
The church is operating on a high level. The church is remembering Jesus with consistency. The church is unified. But here's a young man by the name of Eutychus that positions himself on the peripheral, on the outside of what the church is doing. Look at where he positions himself. He's on the ledge. He's over sitting on the window. He's not in the middle of what God is doing, but he's on the peripheral of what God is doing in the church.
Yeah.
If I had enough time, I would ask you, where have you positioned yourself in the church? God is doing some great things here at New Bethlehem. I look on TV, you all on TV doing some great things. And I talk to Pastor Rogers, and New Bethlehem is doing some great things. But the question is, where are you?
Amen.
Have you positioned yourself in the middle of what God is doing? Not only do we notice his position, but secondly, we notice his condition. His position, he's in the ledge. His position, he's on the window. His position is that he's halfway in the church, but also halfway in the world. And because of his position, we find his condition. His position, he's sitting on the ledge, but his condition is that he's asleep. He's asleep. And can I tell you that if you're not careful, if you don't position yourself in the right position, that you can fall asleep on the things that God is doing.
Amen.
Church is operating on a high level. Got a high level pastor by the name of Paul. Church is operating in unity. The church is operating with consistency. But this fella is sleeping through it all.
That's right.
We must be alert to what God is doing in the church. He is, look at where he's positioned himself. He's all right with the message. But then he's all right with the mess in the world.
That's right.
Look at where he's positioned himself. I'm at church and I want to hear what's going on in the church, but I still want to hear what's going on in the world. He positions himself so he can make it at church and look all right at church, but he positions himself so he can also look good in the world. He positions himself. I want to hear what Paul is preaching, but I also want to hear the mess that's in the world. He's comfortable with the saints, but he's also comfortable with the sinners. He's hanging with the righteous in the church, but he's also hanging with the wretched in the world. He can sing Zion songs on Sunday morning, but he can also sing some other songs on Saturday night. He's neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And what the Bible says about those that are lukewarm, he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. And here is Eutychus. He's in a position where he's halfway in, halfway out. His condition is that he falls asleep until he falls out of the church. Eutychus falls. The text says that you read that Eutychus falls out because he's distracted by what's going on. He falls asleep. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, as I hurry to a close, that we must be careful not to get distracted from what God wants to do in the life of the church. You get distracted from what God wants to do in the life of the church, we can miss out on some of the greatest blessings that God has in store for the church and that God has in store for the people of God. No good thing will God withhold from them that love the Lord. I need to let you know that one day I was in the backyard playing with my kids, my children, and as we were playing, there was something on TV that I wanted to look at. So we played a little bit, and then I came over to the window and peeped in my bedroom because I had my TV on, and I've got surround sound in my room because I wanted to have a great experience when I just get away by myself and watch TV. And so I'm out in the yard with my kids. We're enjoying. We're having fun, and I slip Dr. Rogers a little bit and look at my TV through the window until finally the ball hit me and I said, look, I'm through with it. I slipped on in the house. I laid down. I had my surround sound on, looking at TV. And then I look outside and I see my kids just jumping up and down. I mean, they're rejoicing. And I'm wondering in myself, what in the world is going on? And then the kids come in the house exuberant. They're rejoicing. I'm wondering what's going on. And then I ask them, what's all the excitement about? And then my middle boy right there, and he's just like a middle son. He opens his mouth and he says, Daddy, you don't know what's going on because you were distracted. He said, Daddy, we saw you. You kept slipping away. And you kept looking at what you wanted to look at instead of spending time with us. And then he said, finally, he said, you got hit. You slipped in the room. You laid down on your bed. And then he opens his mouth and said, you're surrounded by all of this noise. And because you're surrounded by all of this noise, you didn't hear what we heard. Said, Daddy, we heard the ice cream man. And we got excited because we heard the ice cream man. And Daddy, you couldn't hear the ice cream man because you slipped away. You laid down and you're surrounded by all of this noise. And I was about to get in my parenting mode. I've got something hanging in my closet. And you know when the children talk adverse to you. But then I was going to go get it, Dr. Rogers. But then I thought about it. I would have got it if he wouldn't have had some theology in what he said. But he had some theology in what he said. And my brothers and sisters, so often we get distracted by the noise that's around us. And we can't hear the blessing that's on the way. But thanks be unto God, they came in and they alerted me of what was going on. And then he got me because he came and laid on me and hugged me. And I raised up and went and got the money and we went to the ice cream man. And what I'm trying to tell you, New Bethlehem, is that we serve a God that's able to do all things but fail. That we serve a God who will send blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And look at Eutychus. When Eutychus failed, he failed. But then notice what happens. There was a distant determination, and I'm finished. Others looked and said, Eutychus is dead. They saw a fallen man and they made a distant determination that it's all over for Eutychus. But thanks be unto God that Paul gives us an example. And Paul, what Paul does, Paul pulls the theology of the late great Harry Blake. When he lectured at the Birmingham Missonian Baptist Bible College, Dr. Blake said, and Dr. Rogers reiterated something in the pastor's study. Dr. Blake said this. Dr. Blake said that God has called the church not to a seat ministry, but to a street ministry. What Dr. Blake said is that we're not the salt of the church, we're the salt of the earth. And what Dr. Blake was suggesting is that if we're going to be the church that Jesus built, we got to be the church that moves from the seat to the street. And notice what Paul does. Paul doesn't talk about the one who's fallen. Paul doesn't criticize the one who's fallen. But Paul goes down to the one who's fallen. Paul goes from the sanctuary or the seat to the street. Not only does he go from the seat to the street, but Paul covers him. Paul puts his hands on him. And Paul has another determination. And thanks be unto God that Paul went from a high place to a low place. So he could take one from a low place back up to a high place. Paul went from the sanctuary to the street. So he could take one from the street back to the sanctuary. But I'm glad that Paul did it, because all Paul was doing, Paul was acting out what was acted upon him. Paul said, I know where I came from.
Yeah.
Paul is saying, I know what I've gone through.
Yes, sir.
Paul is saying, I know where I was. And he said that if Jesus could do it for me, then I can do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because Jesus came from a high place down to a low place to take us who were in a low place up to a high place. Jesus came from the glory of heaven down to the depths of earth so he could take us who were in the depths of earth back to the glories of heaven. Jesus, who was divine, became like humanity so we are who are humanity can come like divinity. Jesus came down, wrapped himself in sinful flesh, took a cross on his shoulder, went up to Calvary's mountain, hung there for 6 hours. For 3 hours it was light. For 3 hours it was darkness. But thanks be unto God that he never gave up. Thanks be unto God that he never came down. He saw the best in me when everyone else could only see the worst in me. He hung there. I said he hung there and he died. Didn't he die in New Bethlehem? He died. He died for 6 hours. But thanks be unto God that he didn't stay dead. Early, I said early, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Looked back at the grave and said, grave, do you know who I am? I'm he that was dead, but yet I'm alive forevermore. Anybody know him? Have you tried him? Ain't he all right? Won't he hold you? Won't he rock you in the midnight hour? And because he lives, I got joy, soul-saving joy, wonder-working joy. Joy that the world didn't give. Joy that the world can't take away. I used to be like Eutychus. I used to have to be made to go to church. But since I met him for myself and experienced what he can do. Anybody know it? Won't he pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he place your feet on a solid ground? Now, I got to can't help it. I got to tell somebody that he lives. Do you know he lives? Do you know he lives? Yeah. Tomorrow, because he lives, all my fear is gone, and life is worth the living because he lives. Amen. Thank God for the church. We are the church, the ecclesia, the baptized, believing body of Jesus Christ. Door of church is open, invitation is extended. John chapter 10. Jesus declares that I am the door to the gate. He is the door. And any man that comes in by Jesus Christ has salvation. Any man, any woman, any child, any boy, any girl. It's all in Jesus. In Jesus. Life is in Jesus. The church, the body of Christ. When we are the body of Christ, we have everything that comes through the head. Amen. Everything that Jesus has, you and I have. Who wouldn't want to be connected to a God this good? The songwriter says, the that when we're connected to him, that he walks with me. Not only does he walk with me, if you're disturbed, he talks with me. If you had any doubts in your mind, he constantly tells me that I am his own. Why don't you come? Will there be one today? Will there be one? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. While you have a chance, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Surrender all to him. Surrender all. Amen. He can take who you are and give you better. Give your life direction. He can make all things new. As the choir sings, the door of the church is open. Why don't you come? As the choir sings, why don't you come? Dr. Rock. Amen. While we're still standing, all heads bowed. Father, we thank you right now for grace, goodness, for mercy. Father, we thank you right now for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We thank you for 121 years of New Bethlehem being a beacon of light in the city of Bessemer. Lord, a city that sit upon the hill, a light cannot be hid. Bless now this congregation as they have served in this community for 121 years. Bless them with many, many more years of fruitfulness and productivity. Bless every member, bless every family, bless the leadership, bless this great pastor. In the mighty name of Jesus, cover us and shield us as we leave this place, but never your presence. And may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each one of us, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And thank you, Jesus.